on. So
the tape
now is on. So let's go back to the Mishnah as to review that idea that the Gemara now is going to. Oh, I should put the TV on. So the Mishnah says, "Bo bayom dorash Rabbi Kiva." That day, Rabbi Kiva made the following drasha. Let's just review this idea. It says, "Uklei cheres, an earthenware utensil, asher yipol mehem el tocho, that will fall inside of it." So call asher besocho, everything inside of it. Now here's the critical word, yitma. So it shall be contaminated. So here's the problem. So we're talking about, let's say, dead sheretz falls into an earthenware utensil. The halacha is the airspace within the earthenware utensil makes the inside of the earthenware utensil tamei, even if the sheretz does not touch the utensil. The utensil becomes a first-degree tumah. Now, anything that's in there now, right? Kol asher besocho, anything that's inside, let's say a loaf of bread that's inside anywhere, it says yitma shall become contaminated. So the simple shot would mean, so the bread becomes a sheni, becomes a secondary. But that's not how Rabbi Akiva is going to learn it. He's going to say, eina omer, it doesn't say tamei, it doesn't say whatever's inside of it is tamei, but says yitma, which seems to imply will contaminate other things. That's the drush of Rabbi Akiva. So again, if the sheretz falls in, that's an av hatuma. It goes into the airspace of the earthenware container. The earthenware container now becomes a first degree tuma. Anything inside that, the Torah says, the way Rabbi Akiva learns, anything else, the bread, not only does it say it will be tummy, the bread will contaminate other things. That's what the pasuk is saying. So if the bread can contaminate other things, so what's happening? Then the bread, which is a second degree tumah, the Torah saying has the power to make a third degree tumah, even if we're not even talking about holy things, only about mundane, chulin. So that's how Rabbi Akiva learns from the pasuk that there's such a thing as a third degree tumah for chulin, which up to this point we did not know. No.
So that's
a
first degree?
No, no, no. Because the vessel...
The bread can make things tummy.
No, no. The vessel, the vessel's a first degree. It makes the bread a second degree. And now the second degree can make something else a third degree. That's what the Chiddush Rabbi Akiva is. The Pasuk's not saying that explicitly, but it's saying yitma. So it means that now it's, that was the Chiddush that what? It's yitma to say letame acherim. To make others tamei, meaning to say, and what's the insight here? The point is, lemeid, it teaches us from Biakiva, al kikar sheni, a loaf of bread that's a sheni, a second degree tuma, has the ability, shemetame es hashlishi, can make something to become a third level tuma, and here's the point. Even though the verse, here's the point, look over here, since the verse is not specified, it's referring to Truma or Kodesh, which we said is stricter, it could make more levels of Tumah, we learn that its teaching applies universally, and that a klish, and a sheni contaminate even food of chulin as a shlishi. That's Rabbi Akiva's statement, that a, in chulin, mundane stuff, a sheni can make other chulin ashlishi. Now here's the point. Rabbi Akiva's exposition runs counter to the accepted law that foods of chulin are limited to tumah on the sheni level. That's what they had been learning up to this point, that in chulin it never gets past sheni. But only by truma, sacred foods like truma kodesh are subject to shlishi level. So Rabbi Akiva comes out with this unbelievable point and saying even chulin can have a shlishi. That's his point. Now, why was Rabbi Yeshua so impressed with that statement? Because Amar Rabbi Yeshua in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua says, "Mi yagala ofer meinecha." Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's going to take the dust off of your eyes, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Because you have somebody who's helped you out a little bit. Because what was your fear? You always held, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai held, that by truma, there's a concept of a third level tumah. That's what Yochanan ben Zakkai says, by truma foods, there's a third level truma. And you're afraid that in the future generations would say that truma does not have a third level of tumah. And you'd be afraid that people would be making things tumah and not think it's tumah because they would say that truma does not have a third level of truma. And now you'd be so happy to know that you have a student that says what? That even chulin has a third level truma. Because you were afraid, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shayiso, but you would say, Osi Dor Acher, another generation would come and make a mistake. And Letaher Kikar Shlishi would pronounce a loaf of bread that's contaminated, that they'd say it's purified. There's no tuma of Shlishi by bread. Letaher, you're going to say it would be tar. There's no such thing as a Shlishi by truma. Why? Why are you afraid we're going to say that? Shein lo mikra min atar shudam. There's no pasuk that overtly says that there's third degree tuma by truma, and you were afraid. Now you held there was, and the Gemara's going to ask, how did he know that? That's Gemara's question. But if Allah, we come out, Rabbi Akiva Talmidcha, Rabbi Akiva, your student, brought even better. Maybe lo mikra min atar, he brings the pasuk from the Torah that what? Shutame, it's tame, what's tame? Even chulin can have a third level of tuma. All right, so here's the point. Rabbi Akiva learned from this pasuk, by the fact that he learns the pasuk, that if a rodent falls into an earthenware utensil, the rodent is an av. It makes the utensil a rishon. And the pasuk says, whatever's in that utensil, yitma. So we would normally have thought it means, okay, so the bread becomes a secondary tumah. But it's saying, no, yitma, that bread can give off more tumah. So that means the bread, which is a second, can make another thing a third, even if it's only chulin. That's Rabbi Akiva's point. To which Rabbi Yeshua says about Rabbi Akiva, "Ay, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you get so much nachas from your student Rabbi Akiva, because you personally held, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that by truma, there's an aspect of a third level tuma, but you didn't have a pasuk for it." And the Gemara is going to ask, how did he learn that there's a third level tuma by truma? That's what we're going to learn right now. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said there is tumah to a third degree by truma, and you were afraid that in future generations they would say it's tahor. So now you're so fortunate of a student that says there is a third degree tumah, not only by truma, but even by chulin. So you should be very happy about it. That's the Mishnah, clear. What Lamor is going to do now is very simple. He's going to say, well, I don't get it. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you say by truma, there's a third degree of tumah. You say that, yeah? And you yourself said, there's no pasuk to support my opinion. So then what's your opinion based on? Where does Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, we're going to see, it's going to be a Kal Vachomer. He says, where do you get your opinion from to say that there's going to be a concept of a shlishi by truma, that you'd be so happy that Rabbi Akiva says it's even a shlishi by chulin? So obviously what we're going to do today is the Gemara is going to say, well, what is his logic? The Gemara is going to show us a Kal Vachomer, and what's the problem always with a Kal Vachomer in terms of its eternal validity? A later generation come up with a question on it. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was afraid of. He had a Kal Vachomer to say that's a third level of Tumah by Truma. He was afraid that in future generations they would refute the Kal Vachomer, and then they would unfortunately allow that truma would be tahar by a third degree and not make it tummy. The people eating truma in a state of tumah when they think it's not tummy. So he'd be very happy to know that Rabbi Akiva has taught us that there's a third degree of tumah in by chulin, and for sure by truma. So that's what we have to understand. What was the Kal Vachomer of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai?
Rabbi Akiva bases it on
the way he learned the pasuk. Yitma. Yes.
Yitma means it became, and yitma means it can.
It will make other things tame. So
it's written, and it's written the same way.
Yes. So he says.
So when we read it, what does the Balfouri say? Yitma or yitame?
He'll say yitma, but since it can be read, but the letters would suggest yitame. Let's look at it again.
I think I said this more than I did, but the fact that reads it, Yitma, and that's a tradition to read it, then shouldn't we assume it means Yitma, not Yitame? Can Rabbi Akiva then be,
okay, let's go back here. Let's, Eina Omer Tame. Let's go here. Eina Omer Tame. The verse does not say Tame, but Yitma, which can be read as Yitame. The implication is that besides being... Now, the Torah could have written the word Tame. It could say like this. V'chol cheres asher yibol v'meltocho kol asher... It could have said, kol asher besolcho, anything inside of it, the bread, Tame is Tame. That would have been a very normal way of saying
it. It's also normal to say that it became Tame.
No, but there's no... Here's the point. There's no need to write... The letters that could be ambiguous, that need a clarity. In other words, if you're looking at the case, it says anything in a kli charis, something falls in a kli charis, and inside of it, anything inside of it, really, you don't have to say will be tame, because you just say what a law is. Anything inside of it is tame, right? So it really is a superfluous yud. Remember, every letter is extra. You don't have to say it will be tame if the status is tame. We're saying a law. If a rodent falls into a earthenware utensil, the law is that whatever is in that earthenware utensil is tame. You don't say will be tame. Is tame. The law is it is tame. You don't need this futuristic word. Because you don't have to say a future. If let's put a rodent falls in. I'm going. This is what the pasuk. Rodent falls in a utensil. Okay, what's the status of the bread? Are you going to tell me it will be tame or it is tame? It is tame. That's the simple word. Why would God write an extra use? Oh, you will be. What do you mean it will be tame? You know, we're already saying if it falls in, right? If it falls in, it should be tame. So there's an extra yud. That's the point. Rabbi Akiva infers from this choice of expression that the Torah did not have to be put in a yud. Remember, every letter counts for millions in God's world. Every letter is important. If he can make the same message with one letter less, why makes the message with one letter more? To say the following, yes, it is, it will be Tameh, but more than that, that extra yud can now certainly be read as, even though we're not going to read it that way. But it can certainly be read as that way, as it will, that extra yud tells us, read it, it will also contaminate. Here, look again. Since Torah is written without vowels, the proper vowelization being an oral tradition, you're right, we're going to agree. We do read it yitma. It will become tame. But the principles of scriptural hermeneutics allow for an exposition based on alternative vowelization. You can say, well, why do we read it alternatively? Because we never needed the yud to begin with. That's the point. So it's sort of like this. Since the yud is extra, so therefore the Torah, God wants us to read it one way is the simple way, but as a drusha, just like an extra vav of Rabbi Akiva, a extra vav. So I have an extra vav. That means to say that this is, because it's extra. So now, since this is extra yud, what's it going to teach us? Well, maybe something the alternative way of reading would be the obvious thing of what the extra thing is teaching us. It could say, that only the bread is tame, that's all. But to say that only the bread is tame, just say tame. Why say yitma, it will be tame? Well, you surely didn't have to do that. So since you did that, it means you want to do a drasha. So what drush I'm going to pick? You know what the easiest drush is? Well, I got the same letters. What if I would just make different vowels? That would be the drush it's teaching me. So therefore, because of the extra yod, we learn now that bread can make something else a shlishi, and that will be very good for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who it's more than what he had hoped. He had only hoped that only by truma it would be a shlishi. He's afraid that people would revolt that. Okay, so good.
Okay.
It's clear. Yeah, now we got to jump to the bottom of Chav Tes Amid Beis. So now that's everything we just did. We spent the last 50 minutes is that line. So now we got that. So now the Gemara is going to say, okay, now the obvious question. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, so if why did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai take a hold that there's a third degree of Tumah by Truma if the Torah doesn't say anything about it? He didn't know Rabbi Akiva's drasha. Remember, he said if he was dead already. If you'd come back to life, you'd be happy with.
He
didn't include into it. Whatever, you know, Rabbi Akiva, Hashem revealed it to Rabbi Akiva, right? Sometimes, again, the thing that's obvious to your eyes, Hashem doesn't reveal to anybody. He revealed it to Rabbi Akiva. So the question is, so what was the logic of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to say that by Truma there's a third level? That's what Gemara says. Umayachar de Einlo, since Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did not have a pasuk to say there's a third level of Tuma by Truma, so Taka, why did he hold Loma Tame? Why did he say that by Truma there's considered a third degree Tuma if there's no pasuk for it? Gemara's going to say it's a Kal v'chomer. Okay? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav. He's going to say, you're right. Minat Torah Einlo, he had no biblical proof, but Nidin Kal v'chomer Yeshlo. He's going to work a Kal v'chomer. Now, to be able to understand this Kal v'chomer, we've got to have four introductions. All right? It's just, you got to do it, or it's just not going to be. So, first, number one. Some of it is review, some of it's new. Levels of Tumah. Okay, as mentioned above, when Tumah is transmitted from one object to another, the recipient acquires a lesser degree of Tumah than that of the transmitter. The levels of Tumah in descending order are Av HaTumah, a primary Tumah, Rishon, first degree, Sheni, second degree, Shlishi, third degree, Revi, fourth degree. There is such concepts, not in every aspect, but in certain aspects. It goes that far. Under biblical law, people and utensils cannot be contaminated by anything less than an av. Okay, you can't be tame, me and you cannot be, on a biblical level. Rabbinic is different. It has to be from an av. An av would be a dead body. Well, that's an aviavos. Let's say sheretz is an av atuma. A dead body is aviavos. Is in a higher father. But anyway, the snake can become no less than a rishon. Okay, a body, since a body, a human, and a utensil can only be tame from an av, that means a human and a utensil can only be a rishon on a biblical level. That means, let's say, if I'm tame, Shelley, I can't make you tame, because I'm only a rishon, and you can only be tame from an av. That's on a biblical level. We're not talking about rabbinic now. All right? Now, the lower levels of Tumah, so what can now be a Sheni? If a person can't be a Sheni, and a utensil can't be a Sheni, what can be a Sheni? The answer is the lower levels of Tumah applies to foods and beverages. Because now that I'm a Rishon, I can touch some food, that could be a Sheni. I can touch some water, that could be a Sheni. It is generally assumed that Chulin, unconsecrated food, and Meiser Sheni, that's what you have to eat in your Shalayim, are susceptible to Tumah only as far as Sheni level. That was a general assumption until Rabbi Akiva came along. All right? Truma can acquire Tumah even on the Shlishi level, and Kodesh even on the Revi level. Okay? However, this is the point. Rabbi Akiva in our Mishnah expounded scripture, as we saw, as implying that even Chulin can become a Shlishi, as we saw from the Drush. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who had not made this exposition, had assumed that there is no scriptural source for Shlishi at all, for Chulin or Truma, but that we may derive it through a Kal v'chomer, which we're going to learn. Okay, that Truma, but not Chulin, can be a Shlishi. Okay, but that's the first. So we got the levels, number one. Number two, now we got to learn a new thing. What's a Tful Yom and a Mechusar Kippurim? A person or utensil that came tame can generally be purified of its tuma by the procedure of immersion in the mikvah. After immersion, the person or utensil is tohor in respect to chulin. That is, he or it no longer contaminates chulin through contact. The person is also allowed to eat maser sheni. Maser sheni is not that holy. The person is also allowed to eat, yeah. However, as regards truma, let's say a Kohen who wants to eat Truma, the process of purification is complete only after sunset following the immersion. You go to the mikveh in the day, but you got to wait for the sun to set if you want to be able to eat Truma. During the waiting period from immersion until nightfall, the person or article is known as a Tful Yom. Tful Yom means Tful. Tevila, going to the mikveh on that day. A Tful Yom means he went to the mikveh but did not have sunset yet. So that means he's okay for Chulin, but not okay for Truma. Okay, he's okay for Chulin, he's okay for Meiser Sheni, but he cannot have Truma. That's the first Mishnah in the Seches Brachas. When can you say the Kriya Shema at night? When the Kohanim can go and eat their Truma. And when is that? When the sun sets. That's the point. During the waiting period, right, it's called Tfuyam. A person who's at Tfuyam is unfit to eat truma or kodesh. So a human being who is tamei, right? And now he's gone to the mikvah, and now he can eat chulin, he can eat ma'aser sheni, but he can't eat truma, can't eat kodesh. Now, a person, that's one thing now. A person who becomes tamei as a result of a specific irregularity in his or her body, like a zav, a zava, a mitzora, etc., must bring an offering on the day after the purification of tumah. They got to do one more thing. It's not enough to go to the mikvah in the day. The next day, you got to bring a korban. During the period between the nightfall after immersion and the bringing of the offering, the person is known as mechusar kippurim, lacking atonement. Now, the sun already set, so now they can't eat truma now. Remember we said you can't eat, they were tamei, but the sun said you can eat truma. A mechusar kippur, meaning someone who lacks atonement, may eat truma, is unfit for kodesh. That you got to wait. Want to go to the Beis Hamikdash, you should eat some food there, or holy food. You got to wait till the korban's brought. Okay, fine. That's all the Torah teaches. So again, a tevul yom, you go to the mikvah, you are tamei. You go to the mikvah, you can eat chulin and ma'aser sheni. Got to wait for sunset, you can eat truma. Now, if you had a specific tumah that was from you, like you were a zav, a zava, a woman who gave birth to a child, a mitzora, that even though you went to the mikvah, the night fell, you're still called mechusar kippurim, you're lacking atonement, even though you can eat truma, but you cannot yet eat kochim, holy foods, that you got to wait till the korban's brought the next day.
And you're only brought during the day, that's fine.
That can only be brought in the day.
We
did that with Nita. Yeah. Now, next, one more term. The Gemara will use terms called tamei and posel. Now, they're pretty similar, but it's a little different. Tamei means tamei, posel means unfit. As a general rule, the word title tamei is applied to a contaminated object that can convey its tumah to another object of its genre. Okay, when you ever see something's tamei, it means you can make something just like it tamei. An object that cannot convey its tumah, in other words, it's the last stop, it's tamei, but can't pass it on, is called posel. It's unfit. Tamei means it's not only is it unfit, it can make something else tamei. Posel means it's not okay, but can't make anything else not okay. Thus, let's see, for example, a shlishi in the case of truma. Okay, let's say there's a third degree tumah. So can you eat truma? No. But it can't make anything, we call it puzzle. And a revi in the case of kodesh, each of which is on the lowest possible level of tumah for articles in its class, is called unfit. Why? It is unfit for consumption on account of its tumah, but cannot convey it to another object of its genre. Right? So if something's a shlishi, if we're dealing with truma, I can't make, if I'm a shlishi, I can't, if, not me, but if an object is a shlishi, it can't make anything else a shlishi. It's hit the end of the road. However, if you want to deal with kachim, holy things, oh, for a kachim, we haven't hit the end of the road. Three isn't the end of the line. Four is the end of the line. All right, so in other words, tamei means it can give off tumah still. Pusel means it is tamei, but can't give off tumah. The Gemara below applies the term unfit to chulin that's on the sheni level. Before Rabbi Akiva came along, how far can tumah go in chulin? Just to a second level. Person's first level, right? Touches some food is a second level. That's it. Because if you say there's only two levels, that bread can't make anything else tamei. That's as far as it goes. Two levels, end of the line. However, chulin does not actually become unfit for consumption on account of tumah, for there's no restriction against eating chulin in tumah. But you can eat chulin when you're tamei. So even though it's a sheni, it is tamei, but it doesn't provide any restrictions. Right? Because chulin can be eaten in a state of tumah. If it's not truma, and it's not kachim, it's just your regular orange that you just ate, you could eat it when you're tamei. Second level tumah, there's no problem. Rather, Gemara calls it unfit. It calls it puzzle, because the category of chulin includes ma'aser sheni. In chulin is ma'aser sheni that has to be eaten in Yerushalayim, and this subcategory is indeed unfit to be eaten in tumah. In other words, ma'aser sheni isn't that holy. It's not like truma. It's not like kachim. There's only one rule. You got to eat in Yerushalayim. So therefore, we say that you can't eat ma'aser sheni if you're tamei. That's the only chulin. So in other words, we're saying, what does it matter to ever say there's a sheni by chulin when chulin you can always eat in the state of tumah? What do you care about tumah? The answer is, there's one chulin that you have to treat with more respect, and that's meiser sheni. That's the only where it becomes a problem. Okay? So therefore, it's called unfit. A piece of bread that's a second level of tumah, you cannot eat it as meiser sheni. You'd have to redeem it or something. Okay? Okay, and this subject is indeed unfit to be in tumah. Even in regard to ordinary chulin, the term unfit can be understood as meaning that food is no longer fit to be consecrated. Yeah, you could even say regular. What about regular chulin? Regular piece of bread. You could still call it a pasul, even though you can eat it. You know why? Because you can't make it whole and give it to the Beis HaMikdash. Because they can't use that. All right, once we got those rules, now we can get the Kal V'chomer. Okay? All right, now, here's the Kal V'chomer. If we can get the Kal V'chomer, that would be amazing. If not, we'll review it again tomorrow. Umat Tful Yom. Let's look at a Tful Yom now. The guy went to the mikveh, right? Now, is he allowed to have chulin? Yes. Once you're a Tful Yom, you could have chulin. You can't have truma. So Tful Yom, shemuter b'chulin. He can eat chulin, right? You came out of the mikveh. Okay, you can eat chulin. But what can you not have? Can't eat truma, right? Puzzle b'truma. The person now is unfit to eat truma, right? Gemara uses chulin as a reference to meiser sheni. Okay, in other words, a guy went to the mikvah, he can eat meiser sheni, which is chulin, which he could not have eaten before he went to the mikvah. Remember, meiser sheni can't eat, right? It means about
the chulin.
What?
The chulin.
But not meiser sheni chulin.
Yeah, right.
Although a tamei person is unfit to eat meiser sheni, once he's immersed in a mikveh, he's fit to eat it immediately. Nevertheless, he remains unfit to eat truma until nightfall. Okay, that's clear. All right, that's what, that is a tful yom. Okay, so now this tful yom, this guy, so we see that which is allowed in chulin is not allowed in truma. That's what we're saying. The guy who's the tful yom, can he eat chulin? Yes, but he can't eat truma. Right? Now, how about a loaf of bread that's a second degree of tumah? Kikar sheni, a kikar sheni, if a piece of bread, let's say you had you tithe your second tithing, right? And in that tithing, you baked breads. That's still good. Now you got to take all that bread and go to Yerushalayim, right? Now, what if that bread becomes a sheni? Can the guy eat it now as meiser sheni? No. Because it's tumah, right? So kikar sheni, a bread that has a second degree tumah, can it be eaten as meiser sheni? No, shepasul b'chulin. It's unfit to be eaten in chulin, meaning to say for meiser sheni, right? A loaf of bread is susceptible to tumah on the sheni level, and if that chulin happens to be meiser sheni, it's unfit for consumption. So now, if that is not for that, so what about for truma? Can that loaf of bread be used for truma? So, eino din, isn't it a kal v'chomer sheyasa shlishi v'truma, that it creates a shlishi in the case of truma? Remember, a guy who's a tful yom, we said, even though he hasn't gone to the mikvah, a tful yom can eat meiser sheni, but can't eat truma. So if secondary tumah, you can't eat meiser sheni. So all the more so when it will become a third degree tumah, you can't use it for truma, right? That loaf of bread would now render something, whoever's going to touch it's going to be a shlishi. Okay, that's good. It should. The Gemara's reason is follows: the tumah of a tful yom, the guy who went to the mikvah, is less severe than tumah of a sheni level. Do you agree to that? Guy went to the mikvah. He's really not tamei. He's really not tamei. He's not like a loaf of bread. A loaf of bread's a sheni. Why? For the tful yom level is compatible with meiser sheni, because he could eat it after he went to the mikvah, whereas the sheni level of tumah is incompatible with meiser sheni. A guy who went to the mikvah, can he eat meiser sheni? Yes. Piece of bread, that's second degree tumah. Can someone eat that as meiser sheni? No. So you see that bread, secondary level bread, is stricter than a tful yom, right? Now, where does the shayla? Now, if the tful yom level were incompatible with meiser sheni, then the tful, okay, fine. Thus, if sheni is incompatible with a food where tful yom is compatible, right? The guy went to the mikvah. He's compatible. He could eat meiser sheni. But if the bread's tummy, it can't be used as meiser sheni, then all the more so, is sheni incompatible with food where tful yom is incompatible, which is the case of truma. The tful yom can eat meiser sheni, but he can't eat truma. The sheni, therefore, a loaf of bread, which is already can't have meiser sheni, which simply in the case of meiser sheni should actually create a shlishi in the case of truma. Because now, how are you going to eat that bread? It should be able to create a shlishi. Because you see that the more lenient thing of tful yom brings an issue that it can't be truma, because a problem with truma, right? So therefore, the bread, which is a problem by a meiser sheni, should also be a problem with truma, and therefore they could not eat that bread. That's the point he's saying.
Let's try the last part again. The tful yom can't eat truma.
But he can eat meiser sheni, but he can't eat truma. A loaf of bread that's a sheni can't be for meiser sheni. You already see it's stricter. So what would it be for truma?
And then
there's an aspect of shlishi. Then therefore sheni, which is similar, would actually create a shlishi in the case of truma. Can create it in the case of truma. Okay, that's the Kal Vachomer. Okay, we'll review this again tomorrow. And then the Gemara is going to ask questions. So now that's his Kal Vachomer. Now he was afraid people would break it. So now I'm going to say, so what could the break be? And how could you refute the break? And back and forth. So we'll have to quickly review this tomorrow when the other guys are here, or they're going to be lost.